The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Jonathan Healy filling in for Pat Kenny this morning. Larry Donnelly's listening in. He got in contact with me by Twitter. He says, maybe not widely known in Ireland, but Hoosiers, based on the true story of a small Indiana high school that achieves basketball glory, in which he plays the head coach on his last chance. Sounds like a classic. Gene Hackman's best ever film, in his opinion. Don't remember seeing that one, Larry, but I'll take your word for it, because you know your stuff when it comes to lots of things, movies included. Now, last week it was indicated that planning rules around cabins and modular homes are going to be relaxed, and the government is exploring various ideas to help with increasing housing supply across the country. But how many living in this types of homes are happy with them? How viable are we to scale them up? And, well, can we scale them up? I'm delighted to be joined in our Marconi House studio by Sean Brett, who's the founder of Steeltech Modular Homes. But first, Paula Donoghue, all the way from Tuam, County Galway, I believe. Paula, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
Not too bad, now yourself?
I'm all right. Tell me about your home. What's it like?
We absolutely love it. I suppose 2 years ago we made the step into looking forward to what we can do future-wise and for us. Both myself and my partner, we set out and we looked at every possibility. I suppose, number one, my partner is self-employed, so a mortgage route was never going to really be an option. So we looked into the log cabins. We did our homework in every situation. We looked into, I suppose, the mobile homes. We stepped foot into Tuam, into Steeltech, and we knew from then what we were doing.
Right.
I suppose at that stage, when we knew what we were doing, we sat down and we had the conversation of where we're going from here.
Now, the only thing about it is people have a bit of a fear of modular homes, because I don't know about you and how much time you spent in a prefab in school, but they had a bit of a bad rep. So did you carry any of that in with you?
None. I suppose both myself and my partner, we wouldn't be one for keeping up with the Joneses and stuff like that. So we just deep dived into it and we got on with it.
Right. And can I ask you, and this is the classic question, what does it look like?
A house.
A house. An actual proper house. Good old fashioned house.
Yeah. So at the moment, actually, back then when we were doing it, we had the steel effect on the outside. But now you can put on stone, you can do slate roof, you can do whatever you want with it. The world is your oyster.
And the other thing, I'm going through all the stupid questions that you've probably answered 100 times. Is it cold?
No. We have all underfloor electrical heating. We've got one bill. Our average, it works out at about €5 a day. Our bills are normally between, well, the summer is normally between €80 and €100 per month. In the winter season, you're looking at about between 120, 160. We haven't paid anything more than that a month. We've got one bill. That's it.
You're doing well, considering. And I suppose the other side of how big is it? I mean, is it two up, two down, one up, one down? What is it?
So it's it should have been a three-bed house, but we made it two. We made our living kitchen area probably about three quarters of the house. It's 40 foot by 20 foot. It's 705 square metres, I think. Don't shoot me down for being wrong. but it's 100%. Like, I've had a lot of people come to me, I suppose, through Instagram, through, I suppose, Messenger. I've left my number in Tuam with the guys if anyone was thinking about it and they're serious, that I'd be happy to get on a call with them. I've done video calls, I've done messages over phones, I've sent on videos, pictures of, I suppose, our experience, because when we started doing it, we had nobody to ask.
This new technology, it's always the case that the first people going out there, it'll either be great or they'll have a nightmare. How quick was it put up? That's my last question to you.
Yeah, so within, we actually, I have a thing here in front of me. We got it delivered on the 28th of October, 22. We moved in the 17th of February, 23.
Right, so you're talking about 6 months on site, which is fairly impressive and fast built. Sean Brett, I'm going to bring you in. Steeltech Modular Homes, were you always involved in building, Sean?
Good morning, Jonathan. Yeah, Steeltech, we've been around for over 30 years. So initially it was Steeltech sheds, and then we moved on to garages and garden rooms. And after COVID, home offices are just walking out the door. And then in the last 5 years, Steeltech modular homes is really, obviously there's a gap in the market there. So that's something that's going really well at the moment.
And all the stupid questions that I just asked, are they the standard ones that come up, Sean?
Yeah, well, there is. There's always a little bit of reluctance with anything new. And there's still in Ireland a tradition of building houses one block on top of another. And that's so out of date and so old fashioned. I say it's a little bit like the Essen cart. There's much more modern and better ways for building more quality homes. And, you know, steel, obviously, I'm going to say steel is the best. But you're getting a structural guarantee of 20 years, whereas if you build a concrete house, you're getting a 10-year guarantee with Home Bond. So we believe they're far superior.
Yeah, but I'm presuming, though, you still need a concrete foundation, because the planning laws in this country are they're very restrictive about what you have to put in the ground first. So you have to put concrete down. You have to make sure that's all set, and then you put the steel on top of it. So how does the steel connect to the concrete?
It's a very simple process. I mean, when the client comes in to us, we'll go through all the various different plans and different options. And then we work with builders, partnership with builders, or they can use their own builders. So we will give them a plan for the base. So they put in the base with the insulation. Then our lads arrive on site, and usually in 1 day, maximum 2 days, the modular home is built. And then the builder returns and does the internal work, which is the builder's working inside, not out in the weather. And he's doing the dividing walls, kitchen, plumbing, wiring, and that sort of thing. And I know in Paula's case, her husband, who's a mechanic, did a lot of the work. So I genuinely believe a lot of people can do the work themselves. You can look at anything on YouTube nowadays figure out how
to do
it.
Hold on a sec. Sean, you haven't seen how useless I am with that kind of thing. Whatever about Paula's husband been handy, I'm telling you, that wouldn't be for me. But so effectively what you're doing is you're giving them a blank canvas after 24 hours. They go in and they do the first fix, second fix, and close it out.
Yeah, we're providing the main structure, so the walls, the roof, the insulation, the windows, the doors, wherever they want the windows or doors, and it's done fast because all the work is done in the factory. So it's a much more efficient ways of doing the job. And this has been done in other countries like for years, so we're just a little bit behind the times in Ireland.
Well, and that's my point. I mean, you can't beat a crisis that we're continuing to scratch our heads as to why we haven't solved it. And it's all down to, if you're to drive into it, really, it's cost. That everything that got really, really expensive, concrete being particularly expensive, building a house, getting planning permission, all of these things that should be relatively straightforward have been made more complicated. Why do you think, Sean, modular homes could be a quick way to turn it around? And if it is the case, are they all going to be the one-off housing that local authorities don't like?
Well, we've been talking about housing for a number of years now and all the problems, and they're going round and round in circles, whether it's housing for all or affordable housing and this, that and the other. And it can be all narrowed down to one single word, and that is planning. That's where the problem is. And I often say, who's democratically elected here? Is it the planners or the government? So if the government are democratically elected, can they not just make some decisions and make it simpler to get planning? I mean, at the moment, for example, in my own neighbourhood in Galway City, there was a green field and there was planning for 100 houses and they got permission. Then it's appealed to Bord Pleanála and then it's turned down and then it's a judicial review. And this goes on for years and years and years. The developer is down a couple of million euros and it never went ahead. So we're minus 100 houses there. Yeah. So that's just one example. But with the most recent...
Could you now... Let's just take that theoretical 100, that site, that greenfield site with 100 planning permission. Could Steeltech rock up there with 100 factory-designed homes and put them up relatively quickly?
At the moment, we're doing 4 or 5 houses a week. But if this planning legislation was changed, we could rapidly speed it up to 50 or 100 houses a week. So, and we're just one company. So the modular, it's much faster, more efficient. And it's not just us. There are other companies out there doing this. So we can rapidly speed up the building of houses. Last year, we built 30,000 houses in Ireland. You know, we need to be doing 100,000. There's no good talking about 40 or 50,000. We need 100,000 houses every year for the next 5 years just to catch up to where we should be.
Well, and lots of people who have them are fans of them. You're not on your own, Paul. A Ken got in contact. It says, we built a garden room 10 metres by 5.5 metres. Concrete resin, but a log cabin look. It's A3 rated, literally 2 feet from the back door of the house. It was a third of the price of a traditional extension. Since then, we've had twins, so we got an au pair. She stays out in the log cabin. She loves it. She has her own room, no noise, nice and warm. Log cabins and modular all the way, he says. Another listener says, only problem I'd have with modular homes is the price. If a modular home costs 40k now, if the government actually goes down this road, the same modular home will cost 70 grand. Greed will drive this idea over the cliff. Look, I know you'd love to make 70 grand when you had the option of 40 grand, Sean, but I think that's not your motivation.
No, Jonathan, I think the opposite is the case there. As I say, we're doing 4 or 5 modular homes at the moment, but if this legislation comes in, we'll be doing 50 or 100 within a year. So if you're increasing your production, then your more streamlined operation, if anything, we could be bringing the prices down. So it's right. Not about making money. This is there's a massive crisis out there where our young people have nowhere to live. I mean, if you go on Daft and look for a house to rent, 15 years ago, there might be a couple of thousand options. Now you're lucky if there's a couple of hundred. So there is nowhere for our young people to live, and they're leaving.
And they're leaving, and we do want them to stay. Paula, the other thing is the system is kind of set up for one type of house, and these are new types of houses. So the listeners are asking the point, can you ask about planning permission and finance and insurance? So how did you get on when you went to all of the places, like the insurance company or the local authority or indeed the bank? Did they wrinkle their nose a little bit when you told them what you were planning?
No, actually went to a local credit union, and they actually gave me the advice that I needed, and we went down that route. We don't have a mortgage. It's just a loan from the credit union that's actually 50% of it's just paid off. I checked this morning, and I've only we've 2 more years left on that.
Wow. Okay. So that means it's a lot cheaper than if you were buying a house. Yeah. And on the planning thing, did you have to get planning for it where you are, or what was the story?
I leave that one over to Sean.
Yeah, well, that's the whole reason we're here this morning, Jonathan, is the government are talking about doing something, as I say, something intelligent about this isn't going to solve the housing crisis, but it would be a big step in the right direction. And it's been done before in California, where they have allowed people build a modular home in their back garden. Obviously, there needs to be terms and conditions. It needs to be A2 rated. It needs to be signed off by a qualified engineer. You need a certain amount of garden left. You know, you can't just throw up sheds and have shanty towns, as some people say.
Yeah, but is it classified as a temporary structure or a permanent structure?
These are permanent homes. As I said, these modular buildings will last 100 years. They will outlast a lot of concrete houses. You're talking a quality product. I mean, for example, 40 square metres, that's a nice two-bedroom home. There's a big back garden there. We have more land in Ireland per head of population than any other country in Europe. We have lots of land. We have the same population live in Singapore as Ireland. Singapore is the size of County Louth. Like, there's not a problem with land. It's the problem is planning, in a word.
They have a bit more money in Singapore. One last one on this that you might be able to answer, Sean. With a steel build, I love News Talk listeners because I wouldn't have thought of this in 1,000 years. Does it affect the phone signal, and is it connected to mains water? The mains water thing I might understand a bit, but the phone signal, I'll defer to
Paul,
you.
Paul is shaking her head. It does not affect the phone signal, but just in terms of water, the big advantage with putting a modular building in your backyard is the services are already there. Your water's there, your electricity's there, your septic tank is there. This is something that can be done rapidly. So picking up more information on Steeltech modular homes on the website, there's lots of videos there on exactly how to proceed.
Okay,
we just need the government to make that big, to take that final step and allow people to do it.
We actually got through the worst, probably red warning that we've ever had. The house next door actually lost 8 tiles off the roof. We've seen houses down the road lose, you know, we've seen their one in Ballinasloe lost the side of their house on the news. We didn't even realise that we had a red warning.
Right.
Three red warnings we've been in the house for. And it's perfect.
It's been a rough 2 years in terms of bad weather up your part of the world. But look, Paula, it sounds like a lovely home, and we wish you and your partner the best of luck in it over the next few years. Paula Donoghue from Tuam, Sean Brett, owner of Steeltech Modular Homes, thanks very much for joining us this morning on News Talk. We don't like change. I think it's fair to say that as a nation, we do it a certain way, and that's it. And I mean that at an official level. And getting officialdom, particularly the state, to buy into this is always going to be the hardest part. But in the middle of the deepest, darkest housing crisis we have had in the state's history, you'd think that they'd be a bit more open to this, wouldn't you? Because perfection, which is presumably what all the standards are set for, perfection is an impossible standard. So let's just go with the best we can do, which by the sounds of it is exactly this type of modular home. Let us know what you think this morning. 087 1400 106 for your WhatsApps, 53106 for your text messages.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.